Hello, and welcome to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. Join us as we dive into God's Word and grow together as we strive to love God, love people, and make disciples.
Send out a couple of quick shout-outs. I am very excited to see some friends in the house. To the Waters, great to see you guys. The Kernals, thank y'all for being here with us. Great to see Dale here from the Dakotas. Been gone. Thankful that you're back, brother. And thankful to see Josh and Tiffany with us this morning, too. I told them, I said, y'all go home, get some rest, don't worry about it. But there's something inside of me that felt like they were going to show up anyway. And here they are, standing in God's strength. So can we just praise God for his goodness and his strength in our weakness? I mean, he's just so good. And he holds it all together. He holds every bit of it together. So I'm excited about the word this morning. We started last week a 5-week series titled When God Calls. So last week we looked at when God calls and you don't recognize the voice. We looked at the life of Samuel. Now God had to call his name several times before he recognized that it was God. But the final time Samuel, when he responds with this. He says, your servant is listening. That phrase there means I'm not just listening just to catch a message and forget it, but it means I'm listening with the intent to obey. And so when God calls us, will we listen with the intent to carry out the orders that he gives? And so this morning, we're going to be hitting on a subject here that hits me pretty close to the chest, because it's something that I've certainly struggled with myself, and I think you'll be blessed through it too. So let's pray together. Father God, I just pray this morning that your word, God, just come clear, God, come and just hit us right where we are, Jesus. This is a new day. This is a new moment, God. We stand on the edge of time, but we're thankful that even in the ups and downs of life, God, you remain constant and faithful. You never change, God. You remain the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. And so today, God, we stand on your word, God. We stand on the scriptures. We stand here in the presence of Almighty God. And so let us sense the moment, God. Let us see the urgency of not just coming and hearing, but coming and hearing with the intent to obey. God, to carry your word forth into the world, to the context that you called us to. So God, this morning, speak through your servant. Make it plain. Make it clear. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about Moses. We'll be in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. I want to talk to you about Moses. Moses is considered the pastor of the Old Testament. God said this. He said to other prophets, he said, I went to them and I spoke to them in dreams and in visions, but to my servant Moses, he said, I did it face to face. God said, when I wanted to talk to Moses, I didn't go through a dream, I didn't go through a vision, but I came down to him face to face and said, hey man, what's going on? What do you need? Face to face. You got to understand, Moses, he murdered a guy, but God still used him. Moses, when his sister spoke against him, God gave her leprosy. Moses was God's dude. He was his guy. You've even seen the famous Ten Commandments, right? We all know that movie, Let My People Go. You know, the whole Charlton Heston thing. And I think a lot of us are going to be disappointed, actually, when we get to heaven and realize that Moses doesn't look or talk like Charlton Heston. I mean, I think we might be a little disappointed, but he doesn't. I'm sorry. I'm going to bust that bubble right now. But we look at Moses, and we see this figure, and we see this guy, and please understand this. With today and any other sermon that I cover, when we're looking at Old Testament narrative and we're looking at these guys that we deem as heroes of the faith, I actually want to remove that word hero. And I want to reserve that for Jesus, if that's okay. Because I see what they do, and I'm thankful for their obedience, but I also see their humanity. Yeah. And there's no heroes here. There's one hero. There's one star of the show, And so we're just going to reserve that for him. But what we're looking at is faithful men and women in Scripture who follow the call of the Lord even through their insecurity. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. But when you look at Moses, his name means drawn out. He was drawn out of the waters as a baby. And God draws a leader out of the baby who comes out of the water. He actually calls the leader to draw out a nation from this oppression of 400 years. With God, there's always a drawing out process. There's always a process of drawing out. God draws things out of you and I and many things that we didn't even know we had inside of us. God has this ability to draw those things out, and they don't always appear instantaneously. But over time, God will use those things, and God will draw those things out of you that you didn't even know you had. That's the capabilities of the God that we serve. And people look at you now. They see where you are now. But they don't know what God had to do in you before he did something through you. They don't see the whole picture. They don't see the whole story of what God has begun to draw out of you. It took a moment to draw the baby out of the water, but it took a while to draw the leader out of the baby. To draw the leader out of the baby. And what ended in Deuteronomy when we look at that, the end of this man's life, and we see where he has led a nation up to the edge of the promised land. And he's been faithful in the call of God on his life to do what God told him to do. We see that, but how that story began was this individual who was struggling with his insecurities. It's this man that called, it's God who called this man to lead a nation in the midst of his insecurities. And that's what we're going to look at today. What happens when God calls you to do something you feel you can't do? What do you do when he calls you to lead and all you're thinking of is every insecurity that you have? Every reason why you can't do what he's asking you to do. We're going to look at that this morning. See, Moses, he was raised to think like an Egyptian, but he had the blood of a Hebrew running through him. And he saw the turmoil in the streets. He saw the turmoil in the fields with the slaves. He saw his people in And this turmoil and this unrest was on the inside of him. And you got these fights on the outside that Moses is going to face, but you've also got the fights on the inside that he's facing. I know this for a fact, that the biggest fight you face is not the one against flesh and blood, but it's the one you face on the battlefield that rests between your ears. It's the battle that takes place within your own mind, within your own heart. And that's the fight that nobody sees. Nobody sees it because the truth is we don't want to display it. Because unfortunately, a lot of times we go into churches, and the churches, when they sense some weakness, instead of us helping the wounded, we tend to kill our wounded. And so you decide to promote the facade and choose the fake over the for real. But there's an internal struggle going on, and nobody knows it because we can smile big enough and we can shake hands and we can hug. But there's a war going on inside of you, and nobody even knows it. I believe this was the case for Moses. And so from Moses' turmoil, he kills this man. And then for the next 40 years, this would-be prince, he finds himself now an outlaw running from justice. He escapes into the wilderness as this runaway convict, but he's got this Hebrew slave blood coursing through his veins as he's running. He's running from his problems, all the while not realizing that his problems were leading him straight to God. Anybody ever had a problem that led you straight to God? I guess I'm the only one. The problem that you were running from ended up pointing you straight to God. Let's pick up in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God." So here in the text where we pick it up, Moses is actually now 80 years old. He's 80 years old. This former prince of Egypt who was raised, he was raised in the best homes, he's got the best schools, he's got the best clothing, he's got the best training, he's got the best food, he's from the highest class. He now finds himself 40 years later tending smelly, nasty, grimy, dirty, dumb sheep. What a change of events. And he finds himself there. And here's the sad part with the tending of the sheep. They weren't even his sheep. They were his father-in-law's sheep. It's not a good look. So he's there tending these sheep and taking care of these sheep. And Moses, he finds himself doing what is easiest at this point. So when Moses at first came to Midian and he goes and Jethro here, he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah, because when Moses showed up, you had these shepherds that were coming and driving his seven daughters away from this well. And so Moses shows up as the hero of the day, and the daughters go back and tell their father, hey, we're back early, but something happened. This guy that was there named Moses, he protected us from these shepherds. And Jethro goes, hey, go bring him here. And so Moses comes back, and Jethro, as a sign of appreciation, he gives Moses his daughter, Zipporah. And the Bible says here in Exodus chapter 2, it says Moses was content to stay. He found himself in this place of contentment. So this prince is now taking the least path of resistance. Here's a question for us this morning. In what areas of our lives are we taking the least path of resistance? In what area of our life are we just going, okay, I don't want to really want to battle this, fight this. What's the least path of resistance that I can take? How can I just exist? And it could either be because we're lazy, or it could be because we're trying to make sure that we avoid any disappointment or letdown. And so we don't even try. We don't even go after it. But thank God that he still shows up even in our complacency. The Bible continues here. It says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. Out of the midst of a bush he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on where you're standing is holy ground. Now, how can what was formerly dirt and gravel and dust and mud, how can that then be converted into holy ground? How can that be the case? How is that even possible? Well, it becomes holy ground because the presence of God showed up, and that made the difference. That's how the situation began to change. What we find with the presence of God is for us today, there's no need for the Ark of the Covenant that formerly carried the presence of God. They had to carry the Ark around, because that's where the presence of God resided. But for us, there's now no need for that, because now we who are in Christ, we carry the presence of God wherever we go. So when you step in the room, the presence of God is there with you. So now for us in our context, when we look at it, when you look at where you are and where you work, now that place, that office that was formerly used for corrupt talking and dirty jokes, now when you show up, it becomes holy ground because the presence of the Lord has showed up as well. Now, whenever you walk into places and you find yourself at your house, and it could have been a place of argument and tension and unrest, now when you walk in there, the presence of God shows up and your home becomes holy ground. When you walk in that classroom, it becomes holy ground. When you walk in that board meeting, it becomes holy ground. When you jump on that airplane for that flight, it becomes holy ground. When you're in Walmart, it becomes holy ground. When you're in the gym, it becomes holy ground. When you're in the restaurant, when you're in the hospital, no matter where you are, it becomes holy ground. Why? Because the presence of God changes everything. It changes everything. When God shows up, he changes everything. Then in the text, we see God says this. He says, okay, let me identify myself, Moses. Let me tell you who I am. And God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And God tells him who he is, and then the Bible says this, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, I think there's probably a few reasons as to why Moses hid his face and that he was afraid to look at God. I think there's just the fear of the moment, right? I mean, there's a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed, and you hear this voice come out talking about, I'm God. You look at that and might go, well, that's really cool. I look at that and go, I got a tinkle, if that's me, right? That's going to scare me to death. So I would be afraid, too. I'd probably hide my face, too, if I'm in that situation, right? Let's just be honest. So the fear of the moment is probably one reason why he hides his face. There's also probably another reason as well. I think another reason he was afraid to look at God is because this is what happens when you tend to look at God. It also causes you to look at yourself. And oftentimes we don't like what we see in us, so we stop looking at him. I think that's another reason as to why. And I'm there more often than I care to admit. Because I look at God and look at his holiness. Then I compare it to my sinfulness and I tend to hide my face from God. I look at his demand for righteousness. I look at what he requires. And I know that I cannot supply that. I'm not good enough. I don't stack up to fit the bill to bring some righteousness of my own to the table. But here's the beautiful thing. God knew that. And that's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent his Son. He sent Jesus to make us righteous. The Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I couldn't earn it, so he gave it to me. So now I don't have to hide my face from God. Instead, I run to God to obtain mercy in my time of need. That's what we do. Now, the next part, I'm just going to kind of summarize it because it's several verses, but this is how the next part of it goes. So we see where God shows up to him, speaking out of the burning bush. Okay, that's kind of weird, creepy, but it's happening. So God is speaking to Moses, and Moses is a little bit afraid, as we all would be. And then God begins to talk to Moses, a conversation with man. So here, in essence, is what happens. The Lord says to Moses, he says, hey, Moses, do you remember that place that you came from about 40 years ago? And Moses is like, you talking about Egypt? Yeah, that's the place I'm talking about. Moses is like, yeah, I remember Egypt. It's pretty good for me most of my life. Well, until I kill a guy. I mean, things got kind of bad then. And I think about Egypt, and there's this whole bondage thing that's going on there. And it's not really cool, and somebody should really do something about that. But I'm going to go take care of these sheep while you figure that out. All right, I'm going to holler at you. No, that's the NIV. For those of you that don't know, that's my version. That's the Negro International version. So that's why, you know, sometimes I have to make it plain. And he goes, somebody should really do something about that, okay? But then God begins to speak, and he says, listen, I've seen the affliction of my people. I've seen their cry. I've heard their cries. I send it up to me. I've seen the oppressing things that are happening. I see the things that the Egyptians are doing to my people. I know they're suffering. And then here's what he says next. He says, I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up to this land flowing with milk and honey. I guess it's going to be a lot of cows and a lot of bees. I don't know. Flowing with milk and honey. This is what I'm going to do for them. This is how I'm going to deliver them. This is what's going to happen. So here's what I'm going to do, Mr. Moses. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh so you can bring my people out of Egypt. All right? Ready? Go. It's literally what God says. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh so you can bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses, he throws a but in the way. He says, but who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Who am I? God just got done talking about who he was in verse 6. Remember, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then Moses, he gets here and he begins to forget all of that God just said. He focuses on himself. When Moses gets asked to lead, he takes his focus off of God and he puts it on himself. I would write this part down if I were you. Your insecurities will always take your eyes off God and put them on yourself. Always. Your insecurities will always take your focus and your gaze off of God, and they'll always focus them on yourself. God says who he is, and then Moses goes, well, who am I? And that wasn't the focus that God wanted Moses to have. Instead, Moses is beginning to focus on his insecurity of who he is because he knows his history. And our insecurities will always take our eyes off of God and focus them on ourselves. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, God said, I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Here's something else you should write down. Insecurities make you focus on your capabilities and lose sight of your companion. They make you focus on your capabilities and make you lose sight of your companion. Moses says, who am I? God says, listen, you're going to get this thing done because I'm going to be with you. That's how this is going to work. There are 65 times where the very phrase, I am with you, appears in the Bible. 65 times. There's over 400 references that point to why we shouldn't fear because God is with us. Over 400. The text says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Well, what shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered through all generations. God reveals this name to Moses, this I am. He says, tell them I am sent you. That's a pretty powerful statement. I am. Now this name here in Hebrew and being revealed to Moses, it would have been Yahweh. That's what God would have said. He would have said, I am Yahweh. I am. And this is a name that is so sacred and so revered that God's people wouldn't even say it. But he says, I'm Yahweh, I am. But what you have to understand, too, is that in this moment, it's actually not a new revealing to Moses of him giving the name Yahweh. There's actually 160 times in Genesis where we see this name mentioned in many different ways and forms. You'll actually find that Moses' mother, Jochebed, her name meant Yahweh is my glory. So this is the first time that we see Yahweh. See, Moses and Israel, they knew the name Yahweh. God didn't give Moses this new and improved name of God, but the name they had already known before. God, he's calling them back to the faith of the patriarchs here. He's calling them back to the stability of the name and the power of the name. It's not something new. And I know for the modern church, is there appealing to us to try to nowadays create some new and improved form of Jesus to present that is palatable to the masses, to the culture, to the world. But what is palatable is not always profitable. Jesus is not calling and asking and begging, please make me palatable. Please dilute me so that people can understand me. Jesus is never asking for that. God forbid we create a Jesus who tells people they can be comfortable with their sin. God forbid we create a church culture that lulls itself to sleep on the satisfaction of entertaining people and teaching you how to just simply be a better person. Listen, you don't need to be made better. You need to be made new. And that's what Yahweh does. That's what the name I Am does. It didn't call you to a better way of living. It calls you to a new way of living. He didn't ask you to build on the crack foundation that is. He blows that thing up and says, let's start over. Let's make my word be the foundation of your life now. This is what God is saying who he is to Moses. This is what is going to rescue the people. This is what is going to deliver them. This is what is going to set their sights on what is pure and true and holy. This is what is going to get them through those tough times. It's the realness of my name and who I am, and that stands for us today. God saying I am means that he still is. He still is today. He is still Yahweh. And so we see that, and we see this given, and that should be enough for Moses, right? Well, it's not. Exodus 4, we continue on. Then Moses, he answered, well, what if they refuse to believe me or listen to my voice? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord asked him, he asked him a question. He said, well, what do you have in your hand? That's an interesting question to ask. Because what do you have in your hand? And Moses replies, well, I got a staff in my hand. That's what I have. I've been tending these sheep all day. I got a staff in my hand. Then God says this. He says, well, throw it on the ground. So Moses, he threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Anybody else would have run from that? Yeah, okay, me too. And he runs from it. He says, stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail. The Lord said to Moses, and so he reached out, and in his hand he caught the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This is so that they may believe the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Here's something else. Insecurities will always make you think that your deficit is also your defeat. Insecurities will make you think that your deficit is also your defeat. The Lord asked him a question. He says, what do you have in your hand? He goes, I got a staff. I got a staff in my hand. Listen, what you need to lead is already on the inside of you, but it just takes God to draw it out of you. You think because you don't have whatever it is, that that is your defeat. Well, I can't lead. I can't do this or I can't do that because I don't have what it takes. I don't have what they have. Now, God is asking the question of us, too. What is it that you have in your hand, not your neighbor, not your friend, not your spouse. What do you have in your hand? I think sometimes we get crippled. We don't do what God's called us to do because we're too busy focusing on what other people have in their hands. Too busy focusing on what the person next door has. I don't have the education that they have. I don't have the oratory skills that they have. I don't have the money that they have, so I can't do those things. I can't give like they give because I don't have that type of money. I don't have that type of intelligence that they have. Right? I know you're telling me to lead my wife, but have you met my wife? I ain't talking about my wife. But this is what we say. But that guy over there, man, his wife, she's so sweet. She's easy to lead. Man, if I had a wife like that, it'd be so, yeah, God, I know you're asking me to lead her, but this ain't easy. God, I know you're asking me to to walk alongside my husband and to respect him, but have you met my husband? I'm looking at that other guy, and I see, man, how he loves his wife, and I see what he does. Now, what you see is what they do in public. That's what we see. But we go, God, if I just had something else, if I just kind of had what the other person next to me had, if I just had those type of kids, right? Because I see other people's kids, and they seem they're so polite, and they're so courteous and so kind. But I had to beat them to get that way. You don't even see it, right? We go, man, if I just had that, and we always think that our house is the one that's jacked up. Nobody else's house. Our marriage is the one that's jacked up. Nobody else's marriage, right? I'm the only one that's having these work relations, and it's just hard, and these people that I work with are knuckleheads. I'm the only one. Everybody else has it easy. Can we just call that out right now and just say that's all a lie? It is. We all are jacked up in some type of way. But we can easily miss out on what God is calling us to do and fall into this place of insecurity when we're thinking that we can't do what God's calling us to do because we don't have what we think we need to get the job done. And my deficit becomes my defeat. Insecurities will do that to you. But God has sovereignly chosen, hear this, He's sovereignly chosen to place in your hands what you have, and that's different for all of us, and I think it's beautiful because what He does is He says, listen, I can take your stuff and your different stuff and your different stuff, and I can get glory out of every bit of it. Yeah. I can display my true power and reign and sovereignty by taking all of these different situations, all of these different marriages, all of these different families, all of these different jobs, and I can get glory out of every single one of them. Yeah. God is not expecting you to run somebody else's race. He's asking you, what do you have in your hand? Just as He asked Moses. So, in Exodus 4, verse 6, furthermore, the Lord said to Moses, hey, put your hand inside of your cloak. So he put his hand inside of his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous. It was white as snow, and he said, put your hand back inside your cloak, said the Lord. And so Moses, he put his hand back inside of his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his skin. And the Lord continues, He says, listen, if they refuse to believe you or heed to the witness of the first sign, that they may believe the second sign. But if you do not believe even these two signs, then listen to your voice. He says, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. Then the water you take from the Nile will become blood on ground. It's so cool to me that God is showing and demonstrating these things to Moses before he's to go and do them in Egypt. It's just a sign of His patience towards man. It's just His kindness towards us. He didn't have to do these things, but He does. So after that, we see, okay, God is displaying that, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you the ability to show these signs to prove who I am. Okay, we're thinking, all right, Moses, surely you'll, that's enough, right? Well, it's not, because in verse 10, he goes, please, Lord. Moses replied, he goes, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and tongue. In essence, he says, I got a speech impediment. He goes, I stutter. He goes, I'm not eloquent in speech. I can't do it like these other guys. Just please, pick somebody else. His insecurities are getting the best of him. God has called him to lead and said, listen, you're going to go do this. And he goes, I can't. And the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who gave man his mouth? Or who makes the mute or the deaf, the sighted or the blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you as you speak, and I will teach you what to say. I'm going to teach you what to say. It's okay, surely we can make some progress from here, but we still don't see it because Moses, he goes, please, Lord, please send someone else. Insecurities will lead you to believe that God made a mistake in choosing you. Insecurities will eventually drive you to the point where you say, God, this is a mistake. You selected the wrong one. I'm not the guy. I'm not the girl. I cannot do this. I think you actually made a mistake in putting me in this position or even asking me to do this. Send somebody else. Well, this actually comes a whole lot later than I thought it would, but the Bible says the Lord's anger burned against Moses. I've been waiting for that, right? It burned against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and he is now on his way to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak. See, Moses still doesn't get off the hook. Moses has still got to speak. Just because we present an insecurity to the Lord doesn't mean the Lord goes, okay, well, you don't have to do that. No, Moses still has to speak, but he's got some help now. Both of you will speak, and I will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and he will be your spokesman. And it will be as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform signs with it. This is the instruction of the Lord to Moses. And we see these insecurities that keep hounding him and driving his response. But for every insecurity that Moses gives, God already has a solution to the problem. And that's the same for us, because God knew the solution before we knew we had the problem. He says, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. But the most important thing, the most precious thing, is the presence of God. It's the fact that God said, I'm going with you. I'm not just sending you to go alone, but I'm going to go with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to prepare the way. And that's what God does. As we close this out this morning, when we look at this text here, we look at this story, when we look at Exodus, we look at Moses, we look at ourselves, the call of God. What I see in this story is that God is not looking for your abilities, but he is looking for your availability. He does want you to present yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to him. That is what he wants from us. He does want us to be available to him, to say, God, anything that I've got or anything that's good in me, it's in there because you put it in there. Anything within me. God, you created me this way. God, you gave me this type of personality. You gave me this intelligence. You gave me these resources. You gave me this platform. You gave me the wife that I have, the husband that I have, the kids that I have. The question is, are we going to leverage those things for the kingdom of God? Are you going to leverage your hardship for the kingdom of God? Forget, Moses is still a runaway convict. He still got to go back to a nation that tried to kill him. They were seeking him out to kill him. They didn't want to just have a conversation with Moses and go, hey, you know, we know what happened. We know you killed this. No, they wanted to kill him. And God is asking him to go back. But the story is all about God. It's more about God than anything than it is about Moses. But can we be available? I think about Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6, and this is the word for us that I really, really want you to take home. Philippians 4, 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This is a command for us. In every situation, we send it before the throne of God. We pray it before the face of God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is a process that God calls us to in how to deal with our insecurity. And it's not by worrying. It's not by taking that thing and just mulling it over and just and dwelling on it and sitting on it. No, the way that you get relief from that insecurity is by what Philippians 4:6 says. It says to submit it to God, to pray it to God with thanksgiving. That's what you do. And here's the assurance. The assurance is that the peace of God is going to come. It's going to guard and protect your heart and your mind. Why does it say guard and protect your heart and your mind? Because the proclivity of your flesh is going to be to pull you back into that insecurity. And so the way you guard yourself from falling back into that is to submit it to God and pray. And he promises that his peace is going to guard you. It's going to guard your heart. It's going to guard your mind from those thoughts, from those insecurities, from all those things that Satan wants to use to pull you back in, to tell you that you can't do these things. All of that comes through the power of prayer. Prayer. You're looking for a solution. I know you are. You don't want to deal with the insecurity. You don't want to deal with these thoughts that are beating you down. What's the answer? What's the answer? The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, you need to pray. It's no shock that a lot of things come at us and attack us and weigh us down. It could be because we ain't got no prayer life. We're not talking to God. We're not presenting it to him. But when we do that, he promises that it's going to guard and protect our hearts and our minds. And then he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. This is what we replace those thoughts with. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. That's what we think on. That's what we set our hearts and our minds on, not our insecurity. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There it is. The God of peace will be with you. He promises it. It's a guarantee. You can take it to the bank. He will be with you. It's a promise. And all of you, if you're in Christ, you've been asked to do some difficult things. You have. A lot of you have been asked to lead in ways, and you never saw an example of how to lead. You're called to be a husband, but you never saw a good example of it. Your father was maybe never there. Maybe he was a drunk. Maybe he hit on your mom. Maybe you saw awful examples of what it looked like to be a father, and you're going, okay, I got this wife now. I got these kids, and I don't know what to do. Could be you're a wife, and you're struggling to know how to love, support your husband, and you never saw. You never saw a stable mom in the home. You don't know what that even looks like. You're in an atmosphere at your job, and you're trying to be the difference maker, but everybody else is just reckless, and it's just hard. It's just a hard environment. Or you're an entrepreneur, and you're by yourself all the time. You don't have encouragement around you. You wish you had somebody next to you, but you don't. And it's a tough place to be in. But even in the midst of all of that, the promise is that God is with us. And that he's going to go before us. And that he's going to cover us and he's going to shelter us. But we still have to walk in what he's asked us to do. Do not let insecurities keep you from answering the call of God. Because he's calling you. But will you answer it? Can you stay with me this morning? Moses finds himself being called to go back and lead people who he's in covenant with. Moses is not an outsider. Like I said, he's got Hebrew blood running through his veins. And so he's called to go back and lead his own people. And that can be one of the most difficult things to do, because it's one thing if I'm leading a group of strangers. Because I can just tell you what to do and I can leave. But it's another thing to leave people whom you are in covenant with. Because there's a line you toe. There's the line of I'm one of you and I know I'm supposed to love you. But at times I also want to choke you. Can we be honest? There's times also when I'm just frustrated and I just want to close the door and I just want to walk out and I'm just sick of it. But I can't do it because I'm in covenant with you. I am connected to you. I am one of you. And that's a struggle that we all face. But you need God's grace in order to lead. You do. You need to seek His mercy. You need to see yourself in light of God's righteousness being given to you through His Son. Let's not be the people who look at God and hide our face like Moses did in the beginning. But as we look at God and His holiness and His righteousness, and we look at ourselves and our weakness and our frailty and humanity, we cannot forget the imputed righteousness that comes from His Son, Jesus. And so when I look at myself and I look at you, I have to look at you through the lens of His Son. And that's why we get to stand in His presence. That's why you get to walk in any room, in any situation, and you know it can become holy ground. Because when you show up, the presence of God shows up with you. And that's what it's about. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word this morning. God, I pray for your people, God, as they go into their areas of work and business and family this week, God. Allow those places, God, to become holy ground, God, where they step into those things. And it's all about you, Father. Every single bit of it, God. We are not the stars of the show. We simply play supporting roles to the King. For it is you, God. This is not a self-help type thing. This is a surrender, fall flat on our face thing. We trust you, God, to lift us up. We trust you, God, to sustain us. Because on our own power and strength and merit, we always end up falling short. Every time. But God, through you, all things are possible. So, Father, help us to walk in that this week, God. If there's anybody here who does not know Christ, you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, today is the day of salvation. I would love to have a conversation with you. Love to talk to you about what it looks like to pursue Christ. Please come find me. Please come talk to me. So God, thank you for your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Life Church of Athens weekly sermon podcast. For more information about our church, including service times and ministry opportunities, check out our website at lifechurchofathens.com and follow us on social media at lifechurchath.